We are continuing our study through the Gospel according to Luke, so if you'd like to please open to Luke chapter 14. I'd like to begin by reading the first six verses. As I said a moment ago, the first 24 verses of this chapter are Luke's account of a meal that Jesus attended in the home of a Pharisee, and it was some meal. We're just going to look at the first part in our message today. Luke chapter 14, please follow along as I read aloud, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray and ask for God's help as we consider his word. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we're able to gather today to worship you. Thank you that this hall is available to us. We know that there are other congregations in our town whose premises are not available to them after the flood. So thank you that we can be here and we can be together today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its clarity. We thank you for your spirit who helps us to understand your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts now. I pray that you would show us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would encourage us, challenge us, feed our souls. This we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Normally when someone invites us into their home for a meal, it's because they want to bless us by showing us hospitality and because they want to spend time with us. They want to catch up. They want to enjoy our company. And I think we've all experienced this. We've spent time with our friends in their homes around the dinner table. And this is something that brings us joy. But you get the sense that what's recorded in this text wasn't quite like that. It doesn't seem like this unnamed Pharisee and his companions wanted to hang out with Jesus and enjoy his company. They didn't invite him over for Sabbath day lunch so they could have some fellowship with him. This was something else. And to be frank, it was a bit weird. This comes through at the end of verse 1. It says, And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And the Greek word translated watch means a bit more than this. The word means more than just, you know, casually watching the television to, you know, check the cricket score. It means more than just, you know, casually watching something off in the distance. It means to watch closely, to watch carefully, to observe scrupulously. Those who had joined Jesus at the Pharisees' lunch table, presumably other Pharisees, weren't just occasionally, you know, glancing over at Jesus to see what he was doing. You know, they weren't carrying on their conversations with each other while keeping, you know, one eye on Jesus. No. They were watching him intently. And as I said, that would have been a bit weird, don't you think? I think there were other folk at this meal, not just Pharisees. Verse 7 seems to indicate that. But even so, to be in this man's house for a meal and have a number of other men watching his every move would have been strange, to say the least. Imagine if I invited you and 20 other people to my house for a barbecue, and 10 of those people spent the whole time watching you. I'm sure that would make you feel quite uncomfortable. Luke doesn't tell us why they were watching him or what they were hoping to see, but I think we know enough about the Pharisees to say that they weren't watching out of admiration. They weren't in awe of him. To use a modern term, they weren't fanboys hanging off his every word. No. The Pharisees were opposed to Jesus. They were among his fiercest critics. They wanted to bring him down. They wanted to ruin his reputation. They wanted to see him lose favour with the people. I think it's safe to assume that they were watching him in an effort to catch him out, to see if he would say something unorthodox, something that contradicted the law of Moses and the traditions. And that makes us wonder about what we read in the next verse. "And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy." We wonder if this was a setup. We wonder if the Pharisees had engineered this situation to see if Jesus would heal this man on the Sabbath. We've seen this before in chapter 6 and in chapter 13. We see Jesus in the same situation, meeting a sick person on the Sabbath in a public setting and being tested by his opponents to see if he would heal them. According to the Pharisees' interpretation of the Sabbath laws, unless it was a life-threatening situation, a person was not permitted to seek medical treatment on the Sabbath, nor was a person permitted to provide such treatment. That was considered to be work. Now, of course, the law of God contained no such stipulation, but this was the interpretation, the tradition that had become law, if I can put it like that, at least in the minds of these men. And so, as I said, we wonder if having this sick man in the room with Jesus was a setup. Now, his opponents wanted to see if he would heal this man, and then they could accuse him of breaking the law. Now, we don't know if that was the case. This man may have simply been one of the invited guests, and he just happened to be in the same room as Jesus, perhaps across the table from him. Maybe he was one of the chief Pharisees' friends. Maybe this was all a coincidence. But even so, given Jesus' response, it's very clear what the Pharisees were thinking. They didn't say anything, but Jesus addressed their thoughts. He addressed them immediately, verse 3, "And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" Now, this was a really good question, because it put these men on the spot. Or, to use another metaphor, it backed them into a corner. Think about it. Think about the scene. There was the sick man in the room with them. I suspect he heard Jesus ask this question. Were the Pharisees going to say in front of him and in front of everyone else, "No, Jesus, it's not lawful to heal on the Sabbath"? To say that would have shown them to be callous and cruel. How awful to deny healing to this very unwell person if healing was possible. If Jesus could heal him, why stop him? Who would do that? That would be a terrible thing to do. I am sure these men didn't want to be seen as unfeeling and inhumane. I also think there was something else going on here, something a little deeper. By asking this question, Jesus was, in a way, showing what an untenable position these men were in. If they thought Jesus could heal this man, then what on earth were they doing? Why didn't they believe on him? How absurd was it to try to use Jesus' power to heal people against him? Again, if they really thought there was a very good chance that he could perform a miracle and heal this man, then why didn't they believe that he was the Messiah? When you think about it, what else could these men do except say nothing? We're not surprised to read what we do in verse 4. It says, "And they held their peace." Now, I want to back up for a moment and concentrate on this sick man. Luke, who was a physician, tells us that he was afflicted with hudropikos. That's the Greek word, hudropikos. And you can hear the word hudro or hydro at the front of this word. And hydro refers to water. Now, hudropikos is what we today would call edema. Dropsy is the old term for this condition. It's the retention of fluid in the body. And one of the common reasons why this occurs is due to congestive heart failure. And it often occurs in the lower legs and feet. But maybe this man had very swollen legs and feet. And perhaps with the stretching of the skin, it had become broken and infected. Maybe his feet were red and itchy and very sore. Maybe he could barely get around on them. I think we can assume that he was very unwell, and we can say for certain that his illness was evident. The people gathered in the Pharisee's house could see that he was sick. And what I love about this text is the manner in which Jesus healed him. Our English translation is very good, but if we're not careful, we can fail to see the full picture. Verse 4 says, "And he," that's Jesus, "took him," the sick man, "and healed him and let him go." The word translated "took" means to take hold of. It's the word that's used in Matthew chapter 14 to describe what Jesus did when Peter, having stepped out of the water, began to sink. Jesus caught him. Jesus took hold of him before he went down under the water. It's the word that's used to describe what the crowd did to Simon of Cyrene. They took hold of him and sort of forcibly compelled him to help Jesus carry his cross. Jesus physically took hold of this man. Maybe he got up from the table and went over to him and put his hands on his shoulders or put his arms around him. We don't know the exact details, but there was this overt gesture, this very human interaction, this very human demonstration of love. Now, Jesus didn't have to do this. He could have healed this man with a word, but he chose to do this. He chose to perform the miracle in this fashion. It seems as though he went out of his way to demonstrate to the Pharisees that he was going to heal this man, that he was going to be merciful and compassionate, irrespective of what they thought, irrespective of the games they were playing. And it is such a beautiful scene. Our Lord, in the presence of his enemies, taking hold of this very sick man and restoring him, taking away his illness, taking away his pain. And then Jesus turned his fire once again on the Pharisees. He put his finger on their hypocrisy, verse 5, and answered them, saying, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day?" This is exactly what they would do for their livestock. If one of their animals was in distress on the Sabbath day, of course they would rescue it. That was wise in terms of looking after a valuable piece of property. And it was kind. It was right to care for one's animals, to stop them suffering unnecessarily. They would not consider that kind of activity as breaking the Sabbath laws, so it was absurd to think that healing a human being on the Sabbath was somehow a violation of the law. Oh, you could rescue an animal, but not provide medical care to a person? How foolish. And again, what could they say? Nothing. Verse 6. And they could not answer him again to these things. In verse 7, we see that the meal continued. And Jesus noticed how people were behaving, and that prompted him to say some very important things about humility. And we'll get to that in our sermon next Sunday, God willing. But for now, I want us to think about this part of the narrative and what the message is for us today. Certainly, there is a message here about not being like the Pharisees in our thinking and our behaviour. We're not to twist the word of God like they did. We're not to become obsessed with minor points of application and think that we're righteous for doing so while ignoring the major things that God calls us to do. That was the Pharisees' problem. They were careful even to pay tithes of their herbs while ignoring the weightier matters of the law, like judgment and mercy and faith. We could learn from the very bad example that the Pharisees set for us in this passage, but I don't want to go down that track with you today, because for one thing, the Pharisees were unbelievers. They were Jesus' opponents, and that's not us. We believe in Jesus. We love Jesus. And yes, maybe some of us have hard hearts, but not like they did. At least I don't think so. We're certainly not out to get Jesus. For most of us, we're not trying to establish our own righteousness before God like these men were. We're not walking down the road of legalism, the road of works righteousness that leads straight to hell. We understand that Jesus is our righteousness. We're trusting in him and what he accomplished for us. We know that he alone makes us right with God. So it's not the Pharisees that I want to focus on this morning. It's the Lord Jesus. He is our Saviour and he is our example. We're trusting in him and we're following him. We are his disciples. We bear his name. We call ourselves Christians. And here, Christ did something that we find very difficult to do. Let's go back to verse 1 and think about it more carefully. The verse says, "And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him." Now, by this time in Jesus' public ministry, he had already had several run-ins with the Pharisees. Their opinion of him, their feelings towards him were pretty obvious. In fact, there was one occasion prior to this where they accused him of performing miracles by the power of Satan. They were not sympathetic to his message. It's doubtful that they were open in the slightest way to what he had to say. The Pharisees were not his friends. And I think we can safely say that Jesus knew what the dynamics of this meal would be like. He knew what he was walking into. We could understand if Jesus thought to himself, "These guys don't like me. In fact, they've opposed me at every turn. Members of their group have even accused me of being a servant of Satan. Why would I go and have lunch with them? Why would I sit down and have table fellowship with them? I'm not going. Instead, I'm going to find a nice shady spot and eat lunch with my disciples." If you were in Jesus' shoes, if you'd been slandered and opposed by the Pharisees, would you have taken up this lunch invitation? Would you have gone to this Pharisee's home for lunch? The chief Pharisee? Especially if you knew that his people would be watching you, hoping to catch you out. Would you put yourself in this situation if you had the choice? What we see in this text is actually rather remarkable. Yes, there is a miracle, but there is also this. Jesus went and ate with his critics, with his opponents. And he did so for their sakes, to minister to them, to bring the word of God to them. In this setting, he gave one of his most famous evangelistic parables. And this is a great challenge for us, to follow in his footsteps, to be gracious and loving in these kinds of circumstances. With people who have criticized us, with people who have not treated us fairly. Now, it's so easy to withdraw. It's so easy to keep ourselves to the circle of people that are nice to us. If someone within our church community hurts us, someone upsets us, someone disappoints us or criticizes us, and they're out of the circle. We're not going to spend time with them anymore. We're not inviting them over for meals anymore. We're not going out of our way to help them. We'll be polite, but that's it. When it comes to that person or that family, we turn off the tap of kindness and fellowship. They invite us over for a meal or to some other event, and we find a way to decline without betraying our true feelings. Or perhaps it's someone outside of our church community, a neighbour, a work colleague, or some other contact, someone who doesn't know Jesus. They wrong us. They say something dumb that hurts us. They let us down in some way. And that's it. No more outreach to them. No more spending time with them. No more minding their kids or helping them around the house. They invite us over for a barbecue and we make an excuse as to why we can't make it. We can become people who won't step into uncomfortable situations for the sake of others, to bless them, to encourage them, to show them love. Now let me be clear, sometimes we can't have fellowship with people until there is repentance and reconciliation. Now they need to take responsibility for what they've done to us because it's very serious. They really hurt us. But sometimes, maybe most of the time, we can probably let it go. We can leave it in the past. We can hand over that criticism, that disappointment to God and be gracious like Jesus was here. He doesn't seem to have insisted upon addressing everything the Pharisees had said about him before accepting this lunch invitation. He simply went into the house and sat down at the table with them. Jesus calls us to be warm-hearted, gracious people. He calls us to be people with generous spirits who don't let bitterness take root. He calls us to show the kind of love that he showed. Love your enemies, he said in Matthew chapter 5. That's what the Pharisees were. They were opposed to him. They wanted to bring him down. Love your enemies. And if that means having a meal with them, then do it, even if it's uncomfortable. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now I know this is very difficult. And I struggle as much as anyone does in this area. But we can do it. We can. Not by our own strength. Not by the force of our own will. But as we recognize and remember that God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We can love those who've wronged us as we remember that our Lord Jesus did not withdraw himself from us, even though we sinned grievously against him. But instead, he came to us and saved us and welcomed us into his fellowship. We've met with him around his table today. We can do this because we have experienced his grace and his love, and because we have his Spirit. If we keep our eyes on him, we can show this kind of love, as difficult as that might be. So, this is the message from God's Word today as we continue our study through the Gospel according to Luke. As you've looked at this text with me just now and thought about the way Jesus behaved in this situation, maybe the Lord has put his finger on your heart. Maybe he's pressed in and touched a nerve. There is some bitterness, some resentment that's been stored away in there. Perhaps it's been stored away for years and years. Or maybe you've been thinking about people that you have withdrawn from. People that you've shut out for some reason. They let you down, they criticized you, they hurt you in some way, and ever since you've kept your distance. They've sought out your fellowship, they've extended a hand to you, but you've pushed them away. There have been opportunities to encourage them, to help them, to show love to them, but you've turned down these opportunities. Maybe the relationship is very complicated and there's been plenty of hurt all around. But even so, you know you haven't taken the opportunities you've had to make things right. You know you haven't taken the opportunities you've had to behave in a gracious and loving way towards that person, and you know you should have. Maybe the Lord is saying to you today by his word that you need to go and break bread with that person like Jesus did with his critics. You need to take that step out of your comfort zone and be gracious and try to make things right. Now if you have a very clear idea of how the Lord wants you to apply the message today, then with his help, do it. Do it today. Do it tomorrow. Do it as soon as you can. And let's all of us, by his grace, make every effort to follow in his footsteps and show love to others, even when it's uncomfortable. May God help us. Amen.